Martin Luther, who you may or may not have heard of, man who began the Reformation, said that every Christian should memorize the book of Romans word for word. It's really all about a courtroom scene. And as the apostle looks at the world around, he looks at the world of the Jew and the law, he looks at the world of the Gentile and all his ungodliness, and he sums the whole business up, and he says that all the world is guilty before God. So first of all, there's the all in the early part of this chapter is all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So there's a need for all to be right with God. The great question, of course, which Job asked, how then can a man be justified with God? The word justification is a great word. My mother-in-law said on occasions, she said, oh, it's one of those cation words, you know, sanctification, justification, and all the rest of it. In the context of Romans, it would mean to reckon or declare to be righteous and to be right with God. Being reckoned or declared to be righteous. The big problem, of course, is how could God declare righteous the ungodly? And in this masterpiece that the great apostle sets out for us in the book of Romans, he is telling us how God has devised a way whereby the sinner can be justified before God. That's a tremendous thing. In fact, this is really, as we said, the whole crux of the gospel, that you and I, as guilty sinners before God, can be made right with God on a righteous basis. And the great thing is this, that God has not compromised his righteousness. You know, you and I may forgive someone and, you know, the thing may never really be put right, but we may forgive. But God forgives on a righteous basis. With this section that I want to look at first of all in Romans, I would just want to put heading over it as positional. It's how God looks at you and I as believers on the Lord Jesus. The second section, the book of Galatians, where he speaks about the gospel and its purity. And the big problem in Galatia was that the folks there had got mixed up with Judaism, and they had faith in Christ plus something else. Now that is not justification by faith. And then James, of course, tells us that we're to be practical and we can be justified. We're justified by our works. That is the proof of the fact that we have been justified before God. I want just then to look at some of these verses in the book of Romans under five headings, really. We find, first of all, that we're justified by God. That's a great thing. It's God that we have to do with, and it's God who does the justifying. And then we're justified by grace. That's God's undeserved kindness shown towards guilty, lost and ruined men and women. We're justified by power. The fact that the Lord Jesus rose from the dead is a great truth of the scriptures and all in connection with justification. We're justified by his blood, by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. And finally, where you and I have come in after we are guilty, God's done all these things, we're justified by faith. First of all then, we're justified by God. I've just entitled this, he's the great provider. He's the great provider of justification. Justification is not acquittal, by the way. You know, sometimes people have the idea that we are acquitted. Well, that's not the idea. Plenty of people walk free from court who are very, very guilty. But because they couldn't bring all the evidence, they walked away. And they were acquitted. They couldn't come to a decision or whatever on it. But, you know, that's not it with justification. Neither is it, sometimes I've heard people say that it's just as if I'd never sinned. It's not that either. Because the fact is that Romans tells us all have sinned. And so justification is what God does. He pronounces us righteous. He's the one who reckons us righteous. At the end of the day, God is the one with whom we have to do. But the great thing and the great encouragement tonight is that you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus, our sin has been dealt with. And it is God that justifies in Romans chapter 8, verse 33. It is God that justifies. So God is going to do something for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. Well, Paul goes to great lengths, doesn't he, in chapter 2 and again in Galatians. He goes to a lot of lengths to tell us that we cannot be justified by works. There's no amount of effort that we can put in. God's provided a means whereby we can be justified. We can be declared righteous on a righteous basis. I love those verses that we read in chapter 8 there. if God be for us, who can be against us? That's a tremendous verse, isn't it? Doesn't that make you want to hold your head up tonight to think that you belong to the Lord Jesus, you've come to faith in Christ? If God be for us, who could be against us? He spared not his own son. That tells us something of God's love towards us, the depth and the height and the breadth of God's love. He spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What a tremendous thing this justification which God's provided has done for us. It's brought you and I as believers into a living relationship with him, and God's for us. God's all for us. As he says in verse 33 there, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Well, Paul can hardly contain himself, can he? When he's writing these words, he's just so full of it. Here he was, Paul, the Hebrew of the Hebrews, Pharisee of the Pharisees. If anybody was going to get into heaven, he was going to get there by his good works. But he came to realize that he was a sinner and he needed salvation, and God had provided it. So God is the great provider of salvation. Romans 2, as Paul says this, the hearers of the law are not justified before God. It's just not enough to hear it. And he said, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Theoretically, if a man could keep the law completely, he could perhaps be right with God. But of course, the big problem is that he'd have to do it the whole of his life. And of course, no one has done that. The doers of the law shall be justified. But how God here in these verses justifies the ungodly. Verse 3 says, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's what Paul spends a lot of time in Galatians trying to tell them. That the law came in not to be a code that for people to live by in order to get acceptance with God, to be justified with God. That will never justify them, because none of them could keep it. All the law did was condemn them. But the law was brought in to show up just sin for what it was, and to show that man needed a saviour. So the big problem then, if it can't be done by works, how can it be done? Well, the second heading I want to come to is the first one, God's the great provider, and we want to look at something of his provision. Let's read a few verses back in chapter 3 and verse 24. This is a lovely portion of scripture, because we get the word introduced here in verse 24, being justified freely by his grace. If this is going to happen, that sinful man can be reconciled to holy God, and in the context of this justification pronounced righteous, it's going to be done not by works. It's going to be done by God's grace. God's undeserved forgiveness offered to sinful mankind. Now that's a tremendous thing. You and I, rightly before God, we're all guilty, we're all condemned. That's why I read that lovely verse in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. That's tremendous. My, what a weight lifted off your shoulders. No condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So here we have that we're all guilty, but God's provision comes to us by his grace, his undeserved favour towards lost and ruined men and women. But grace is not wages, is it? If you go to your place of work at the end of the week, the boss doesn't say, well, I'm just going to do you a favour and I'll give you money at the end of the week. He owes it to you. You've earned it. That's what chapter 6 says, isn't it? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So really, all wrapped up in this justification is everything to do with the grace of God. Chapter 4 and verse 24. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offences and raised again for our justification. Here we have the power. We are justified by power. The same power that raised up the Lord Jesus from the dead. When the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead, it was evident that it was a work which was completed. It was a finished work. You remember those words upon the cross, it is finished. And in order that the thing might be brought to a completion, that death was conquered completely, God raised him from the dead. So that's one of the aspects of the power of God in terms of our justification. The second thing is that, of course, it was the proof that God had accepted the sacrifice which he made. This is very, very important stuff. The very fact is this, that he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, to prove that God had accepted the sacrifice which he had made. And, of course, the resurrection, in terms of our raised again for our justification, and in connection with that, the resurrection would remind us that it's the mainspring of all our hopes. All the hope that you and I ever have for the future is tied up in the fact that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Chapter 5 and verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. We are justified by his blood. This would refer surely to the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus made upon the cross. It was a sacrifice which was to pay the price of sin. It was one sacrifice for sins forever. That's a great thing. I love that. I love those verses we read in Hebrews where we find the truth of these things. That there's never need to be another sacrifice. That there's just one sacrifice for sins. It's past. It's historic. The great thing about this, you know, dear brothers and sisters, is that when we were forgiven of our sins, when we were justified, when our sins were dealt with, they were dealt with past, present and future. I want you to understand that. It took me some while, as I sat in a meeting such as this one night and listened to a brother preaching, to think that God had forgiven all my sins, past, present and future. That's tremendous. There's a practical aspect to that, that you and I still sin. The Bible never teaches us about sinless perfection, and we need to keep short accounts with God. The price was the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. And then a fifth one I've got is the path. Chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith. This is the only bit that we've had anything to do with. It's all been of God. You see, it's the gospel of God. I love that when Paul begins that great exposition of the gospel in Romans chapter 1. He says it's the gospel of God. Therefore, verse 1 of chapter 5, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just turn back to 3 verse, we'll read 23 just to make connection. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Now those are very, very precious words. The pathway is that we are justified by faith. That's how we come into the good of justification, of being pronounced righteous. Not just acquitted, as we mentioned. Not the fact that we're innocent, but the fact is that we're guilty, that God has laid all the punishment upon the Lord Jesus. In grace, he has provided it. And now we need to believe on the Lord Jesus in order to receive that wonderful gift of justification on the basis of faith. Now, I'm sure the people in Bicester here go round the doors and knock on the doors and invite people to meetings. And you normally get the people come out and they say, yes, well, it's good you've got meetings, but I've got my faith, you know. They've got their faith, as if faith is some kind of thing in itself. Faith itself will not save people. It's faith in Christ that saves people. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth. God has made a public statement in the presentation of Christ, his Son, as Saviour. God has set him forth to be the propitiation. That is the means whereby mercy can be shown to people. It's the idea of the man in Luke 18 who went up to the temple to pray. And he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Merciful to me on the basis of a sacrifice. We can't earn it. We can't work for it. It's all of God's grace. God has done this mighty work. His Son has gone to the cross. He has shed his precious blood. And God has set him forth now. He's presented him to this world as a propitiation for our sins. You see, we need to have faith in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. Not just faith in a vague kind. Faith in a person. Faith in the work which he has done. Faith in his blood. The word blood always would give us the idea, the context of a sacrifice. And it's faith in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus which brings justification to us. To declare God's righteousness so that God can justify sinners on a righteous basis. In chapter 1 of Romans, as well as in chapter 3 of Galatians, and also in Hebrews chapter 10, we get a little phrase quoted from Habakkuk 2. It says, "The just shall live by faith." And that is the text which has come through from the Old Testament and has been applied in a number of instances in the New Testament. The emphasis, first of all, in Romans is that the just shall live by faith. In Galatians, it's the just shall live by faith. And in the book of Hebrews, the just shall live by faith. The emphasis is on a different part of the verse. Let's just look at a few verses in Galatians chapter 1. And we'll read verse 8, where it says, "But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. And and we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than ye have received, let him be accursed. For now do I persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Just turn over to chapter 2, verse 16. "Knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even as we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ," or faith in Christ, "and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor, for I through the law am dead to sin, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." So here's the great apostle, and he's writing to these Galatians, and the church at Galatia had a big problem. The old Judaizers kept cropping up again and saying, "Well, you've got to be circumcised, you've got to keep the law and all the rest of those things. You can have faith in Christ, but you have to do all these other things as well." And Paul is very, very strong against that, as we read those verses in chapter 1 there, about another gospel. We need to be aware that there are people who preach another gospel. They're quite happy to use some of the phraseology that we use, but it's faith in Christ plus works, or plus ritual, or plus something or other, in order to get justified with God. No, Paul says, as he preaches very, very strongly against that, he says that we're justified by faith on the basis of grace. James chapter 2, a few verses here. Yes, verse 14 says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food?" Move on down a little bit. Verse 21. "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed or reckoned unto him for righteousness. And he is called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." So what we find in these verses is that A man is justified by works, by the things that he does. And what I've just entitled this really is the proof. This is the proof of our salvation. You see, faith is not supposed to be some kind of academic thing. This is a real and living faith. He quotes here Abraham, of course, the great man of faith, Abraham. He says that he believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Well, that was way back in chapter 12 of Genesis. But when we have the illustration we find here, that when he took Isaac and offered him upon the altar, that was in Genesis chapter 22. So that wasn't anything to do with his salvation. This justification by works has nothing to do with salvation. We've already established that by looking at the portions in Romans to state our position before God. And we cannot be saved by works, but the result of when we are saved will show in our lives. Living out a living faith. The emphasis that the just shall live by faith is really upon this idea of works. Doing things in faith. Walking with God. That's the great thing. I love that chapter. In fact, that verse is quoted at the end of chapter 10 of Hebrews. The just shall live by faith. And then he goes into chapter 11 and he gives us all sorts of illustrations of men and women who lived by faith. Right, that's what we should be doing. That's the result of justification, is walking by faith, living for God. You know, we look at Abraham, we say, oh yes, well, he's the great patriarch of the scriptures. And then I find in verse 25, there's a woman named Rahab. My, what a contrast. But here was a woman who, just like Abraham, was justified by her works. May the Lord encourage us then, whoever we are, whatever our backgrounds, whatever prospects we have, that we might just walk with the Lord, enjoy the fact that we have been justified and we're right with God on a righteous basis. That's the position that we find ourselves in as believers on the Lord Jesus, and that we might beware of those who would teach a false gospel regarding justification. But when we come to the little book of James, that we might remember that we might be justified by our works, and we might be men and women who live by faith. May the Lord help us in these things.